You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guests Bradley Meek and Niall Flanagan. Tonight's episode, Winter Preview 2016.
Your life's gone down the drain, your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame, Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we look back at the shows from the autumn anime season that we picked out 3 months ago. And then we'll discuss the anime coming out in the next 3 months. And joining us tonight to gaze into the crystal ball are Bradley Meek from Anime Now and Niall Flanagan from Secret of the Sailor Madness.
Greetings.
Hello.
Hello, guys. The introduction will change next year because I've discovered that the Let's Go introduction is much better for syncing everybody's recordings up. The call and response really helps.
Oh, it makes sense.
So this may be the last of those introductions.
No.
I miss it already.
So, awesome review. What did we watch? Well, Niall wasn't here, so we'll let him do his picks of anything we missed at the end. But I've rearranged in alphabetical order the stuff we picked out on our autumn preview podcast. So let's run them down. Run them over as well, in some cases. Let's start with our first target, Attack on Titan Junior High. Did anyone watch this?
Oh, nope.
Now, I watched the opening. The opening is good. I didn't watch an episode. I figured there wasn't going to be a better joke than what the opening is.
Can you tell us the joke?
It's just they reanimate the opening to Attack on Titan, but with the super deformed people and a comedy version of the theme tune.
I think we got a better Attack on Titan parody in the first episode of Mr. Osamatsu anyway. So.
That is true. Okay, that's one tap down. Next up, Comet Lucifer. I can't remember who picked this. It wasn't me.
But it wasn't me.
In attempt to catch up with everybody's choices, I sat down a few weeks ago and thought, let's watch Comet Lucifer. Went to Viewster, switched it on, got halfway through this first episode, and I realized this is episode 7. Not the first episode. So, what can I say about half of an episode 7 out of context? I quite like the character designs. The way the characters behave seems very typical anime. And the CG robots are very CG robot-y. So, it doesn't look awful, but nothing I'm going to go out of my way to watch.
Okay.
Concrete Revolutio!
Revolutio!
This was...
Yes.
I believe my pick, well, at least I picked this out on my 5 to watch, and hey, I've been watching it every week. This is my sweet spot in terms of superhero stories. It's an alternate history version of Japanese sort of post-war history up to maybe the mid-70s. We don't know if it's going to go any further. And also the history of their pop culture as well, and sort of how those intertwine. And I really like it. And you can finally use the word deconstruction about an anime show, and it will be correct. What do you guys think?
I love it, obviously. Yeah. I get, like, there's just so much, this like the layers of the onion just keep peeling off on that thing. It's really, like, it's really good on its own, but if you dig down into it, you can find so much more enjoyment inside there as well. I don't really get why people were like so confused, as you know, but I guess why the timelines for like jumping around so much. I mean, it's pretty clearly defined, like which era is which, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about
you,
Bradley?
And it's also just a really solid suspense show that it's very easy to devour episodes one after the other. I was surprised that I had seen 4 in one sitting. So I was really pleased with it.
I don't know. Still, I hear every week what it's about, and I kind of feel like I'm watching it without watching it. But still, I've watched the first episode. It's all right. But do I need to watch any more? I don't know. I feel like I've heard enough. By listening to about it weekly, which doesn't mean to say it's a bad choice, bad show, but I don't know. I'm getting me money's worth by overhearing the plot each week.
It's like our version of us as we describe it every week.
Yeah,
better in your mind.
Yeah.
Who's constantly clicking and can they stop it?
Oh, that's me.
Okay.
Click, 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 click.
He's cutting his steps.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. He's finished doing his stapling. Right, next up. Excuse me while I cough.
Bless you.
DD Fits on the North Star, strawberry flavour. Now, this was a bit confusion as we were leading into this. We weren't sure whether this was two series, combined series, how much of the series would be one thing and how much would be the other. It's mainly DD Fist of the North Star with a hint of strawberry flavour at the end.
Just a little dab on your tongue there.
Yeah, just a little bit to see you on your way. So it's Akitara Daiichi again with Haruki Kasugamori as sort of generally doing half of each episode. They sort of split them up. I think the Daiichi segments are generally okay. The Kasugamori ones, I think, are excellent most of the time. Sometimes it switches, but most of that's generally how it rolls. The show has changed style a lot. It's not an adaptation of the comic anymore. It's now set in a school. There are apparently no script writers. It's the storyboard artist is the guy doing the writing each time, as far as I can tell. And it starts off a little slow, particularly because you're getting used to it again, because they've changed so much of it and the production values are so much lower. But it's really got going. Once Rao got married, I thought, it has become very unhinged.
Yeah, the guy just forget that this is like really set in the school and isn't really kind of tied to that so much anymore. So they just go, we'll go back to just doing whatever the heck we want to do.
But yeah, very strange. Strawberry flavour is occasionally good, but often I'm like, I don't know if it's bad because there's not enough of it, or if it was longer, it would be completely unbearable.
You know, it's just so odd. I can't help but enjoy it.
Yeah, you see, I would say it's not odd enough for my tastes, the strawberry flavour bit.
So it's like, you know, with the DD versus the North Star, it's obviously, okay, these are obviously like, you know, very silly and funny because they all look like little potato men. So, but anyway, so we're just still seeing these like hugely buff, like detailed characters on the story floors, and it's just everything just seems off about the whole thing.
Right, Garen Gurunosuke. Is that what it ended up being called?
Yeah, Crimson. What's it called? Something Crimson Moon.
Yeah.
Was it just me who watched this?
Well, it sounds things.
Apparently.
I meant to watch it, but I didn't get it.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
Save your time. Sit and do your nails, anything. It's not the worst thing ever, but it's just, I've seen it done millions of times. The characters are just the same old cliches. And you might as well watch something else. There's nothing to get from this show. And admittedly, it is the second season. Or a continuation on from whatever the first one was.
No, it's not. No,
it isn't. Okay, no,
it's not.
It's a different thing.
No.
Well, either way, it's you're a not missing
different timeline, much. Different okay. setting.
Okay.
Yeah, I was much less like interested in this setting now. Like I can't afford that sort of fantasy Spain version they had in the first Garo anime series. That seemed a lot more interesting to me. What they were doing there.
But yeah, I actually knocked it off before it finished. I was like, ugh, nah.
Yeah, this is written by the same guy who's writing Concrete Revolution, I believe.
God.
So again, it's an alternate history, which is one of the things he likes.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, but yeah. Surely nobody's going crazy for Garo.
Well, it's hard in the UK because there's nowhere to watch it legally. So.
What are you trying to say? Accusations.
How did you see it?
Moving on.
Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans. So this is the new Gundam, which is doing even worse than the last two Gundams in the ratings.
Yes. Oh, no.
That surprises me.
People say that Gundam Age was a flop, but it wasn't a flop so much in ratings. It was a flop in selling the toys. In terms of ratings, it beat out both series of Build Fighters and absolutely crushes Iron Blooded Orphans. So what is the point of Gundam in 2015?
The point of Gundam in 2015 is to show pouting pretty boys ruminating about how terrible their lives are and then killing each other with awesome robots.
I feel like there could be... I feel like there could be a little bit more kind of depth to the whole thing. Like, you know, because they're really explicitly trying to maybe explore the whole child soldier angle of it here, but it's... For me, it just seems like, no, we just need a reason as to why we have, like, underage, like, kids on this battlefield where some of, like, the kids watching at home have someone to empathize with, you know, but why are these guys here? Why would these guys be allowed in the military? Oh, they're all indigenous pilots. No, these are just, like, all child soldiers, like, you know, drafted into this shady private military company. And I thought, okay, well, they go up, get a bit more something to kind of chew on there, but up to where I've watched them, I admit I'm a little bit behind as of recording, but it's just like no real looking into that as far as I can tell anyway.
So I've only seen the first episode, but I really liked what I saw of it. It's sure it is very cheesecakey, but it's kind of trashy in a really enjoyable way. All the men are walking around without a shirt for no particular reason other than who the audience for this is.
No. It gets hot in those robots, I imagine.
That's important, too. And they're sweaty a lot. The men are often very sweaty. But it's just really enjoyably violent first episode. Very satisfying action direction. And while the storyline doesn't feel that far off from a number of other Gundam storylines, it feels like it's very, we're the underappreciated ragtag group of soldiers who are abandoned and manipulated by our bosses and harassed by our enemies. But we'll stick together as a group because we're friends and possibly gay lovers. God, I really enjoyed that first episode.
I did not.
No, nor did I.
If Gundam disappeared tomorrow, I would not care.
It's on the way there.
Okay.
I guess so.
What really sells right now, apparently, are the OVAs for Gundam Origins, Thunderbolt, Unicorn. Those are still doing really, really well. And those are probably the throwback that you're looking for to the old Gundam.
Yeah, I don't think either of us are looking for that either.
No, I don't want to look in the opposite direction. If that's... Me and Gundam just do not gel.
I just want more G Gundam. Give me more of that.
Oh, yeah. That's the fighting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
As little like Gundam as possible.
They all have fighting.
Yeah, but this is different. This is like Street Fighter fighting.
I get what you're getting at, though. Yeah.
You might like Build Fighters as well, Anthony, because that's more like Pokemon.
I don't need Pokemon in my life anymore. What? If you spoke to me as a young age, perhaps. But not now.
Okay. What do you need in your life, though, is an adorable dog called Lovely Muko, which we've been enjoying a lot on Let's Go, our other podcast. Well, three of us have. One of us has been complaining about it a lot.
He doesn't have to watch it, but he still does.
So it's an anime about a dog who's owned by a glassmaker, and it's a real dog and a real glassmaker. And it's far better than it should be. Given what it looks like. I think a big part of its appeal is Hitomi Yoshida, who plays Muko, and the script as well. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is. Mm. On paper, it shouldn't be up my alley, but in execution, it works.
That's good. The energy is pretty infectious. Yeah. But I understand for some people that might be a bit above their threshold and it becomes a little bit grating for them. So may explain why somebody doesn't like it.
I take it, Bradley. This wasn't one of the things Bradley caught up on.
No, I didn't watch any of it.
I think you like it, Bradley. I think, honestly.
Okay, K, Return of Kings. Anthony, this was one of your picks.
If you looking back when it was on the list, I was like, right, I'm going to finish season one and then watch this. I didn't finish season one, so I've not watched this. And I might maybe catch up over Christmas holidays. I'm off for 2 weeks of Christmas, so that'll be catch-up time. But there's other things to catch up on, so Kate may not even get a look in.
I bet it won't.
You never know. You never know.
It'll be a Mass Effect Christmas for Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Kagewani.
Yep, I gave this a go. The idea of this man hunting down a monster crocodile, another kind of mysterious beasties. But it's the kind of visual style. I saw these paper cutout people, just kind of barely being moved around on the screen. So it looks a little kind of stilted, and I couldn't quite get into it, I suppose. I might try some other time, yeah, I wasn't in the form for it. But they're only little short bits anyway, so it wouldn't be that much out of the week to try and watch it. So watch this space, maybe.
Okie dokie. Kamen Rider Ghost, not an anime, but I believe this may have been on Bradley's list. I watched the first few episodes. It's all over the place in tone. And I felt it was a big step down from Drive. So I've not been following it. I might be giving it a miss. Bradley,
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I haven't seen any of it, but I'm glad to hear that it's not worth watching. So I can more easily make the time to finish up Drive.
I may check in on the Christmas episode, though, because I believe he gets a Santa icon in that and becomes Kamen Rider Santa or something. Along those lines.
I watched that.
His power-ups are basically the ghosts of various dead people, not all of which existed. So once that was established, I figured the Christmas episode must be Santa.
Wait, but this is Yo-Kai Watch. She's watching Yo-Kai Watch again.
It's like the third one he uses is Robin Hood. I mean, it's like, okay.
Robin Hood is a Yo-Kai? Wow.
Do you not know that he's not a real person? Cowabon. I can't remember who picked this, and nobody seems to have watched it.
No idea where it is. Did somebody definitely pick it?
It must have been, yes, because I took everything we picked from the last notes and rearranged them alphabetically. So who knows?
Looks like something I would watch, maybe. It looks a bit different, but no, I didn't.
Kyofu Zombie Neko. I don't think this was my pick, but I ended up watching it because I follow somebody on YouTube who was apparently involved in it, and so put some stuff of it up on YouTube. And what I saw, I liked, but I've not gone looking for the rest of it.
I don't think it's licensed.
I'm not even sure it needs to be licensed. I think it might just be a web thing in the first place. Mm. I'm not sure. It just seemed to be sketches involving undead cats. Lupin the Third. What I've seen was pretty good. The problem is, there's other shows which were better. And also, the second problem is, it's not legally streaming. And boy, it's just not worth the time and effort to watch anything illegally anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It is very good, though.
Is that someone's phone ringing?
It's just someone... Hang on.
Someone's buzzing in.
They're just buzzing every parent trying to get some letters here. I'll take care of this. Hang on. Okay.
Well, I need to watch this. I'm just going to wait until it's all out. And even if I can't get it legally, I will find it and I'll just get it all and I'll watch it.
You'll be like Zenigata.
Yes.
Hunt it down and then it'll elude you at the last second.
Oh, so don't see
you'll
that.
Never get to see it.
I'll tie my little handcuff around it and I'll watch it.
Its arm will come off. One Punch Man. This is one of the shows which is better than Lupin the Third. It has been eating my time up watching this instead. It's really, really good, guys. If you hadn't picked up on that from across the internet.
Because everyone's watching. Everyone's liking it.
Yeah, so we were recording it on the day after Conor McGregor beat Aldo in the UFC in 13 seconds.
Yes,
of course. I went straight to Twitter. I put in Conor One Punch Man. And people are going, Conor's the real One Punch Man.
Oh, man.
And people talking about it.
That's great.
Yeah, so people who watch UFC love One Punch Man. Of course they would. They're the sort of people who like Dragon Ball Z. So if you're the sort of person who likes Dragon Ball Z...
When it was good.
And
when it's not super...
Then, Yeah, and now you're an adult, you should watch something which doesn't take so long to watch.
Mm. That's a perfect description. That is the best way to describe One Punch Man.
Huh. I don't know if I agree with that description, really? Actually, but I'm not entirely sure why.
I'm not saying it's like Dragon Ball Z. I'm saying if you're the sort of person who likes Dragon Ball Z,
you'll
like One Punch Man.
Because even though they're fairly different shows.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
okay.
There's something in the formula. There's of a bunch of people got the shit kicked out of them, and then eventually the hero shows up to defeat the bad guy.
Also, if you like Oxygen, you'll probably like this show. Because everyone's going to like it. There's no excuse.
I bet there's people who don't like it.
Oh,
so...
There's people who complain that he doesn't have enough plot for them. The writing's not good. They want more writing in it. Less animation and action.
They're doing that on purpose. They're saying that to get a reaction. I refuse to believe otherwise.
That does actually kind of get to something, though, that's a big difference between this and Dragon Ball Z, is that Zed had an elaborate mythology that it kind of built into it, and there were big... elaborate tournaments going on. This is the whole point of this show.
Well, wait to season two, Bradley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it will upend that expectation, but there is a tournament happening in the comic at this point.
Okay, so I don't know how I feel about that because I like how silly it is. It's primarily just a gag series with amazing action. I love that.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be silly.
I mean, I need an anime right now.
It is silly already, and the thing hasn't even started. And obviously the joke is going to be that he's going to just go into this tournament and beat everybody because of who he is.
And it's going to be amazing. Even though I know that's going to happen, it's going to be great.
So the thing, part of the joke is it has that typical shonen build-up, and then... Mm-hmm. It just punctures it in one punch. But everybody else...
As much as I like that typical shonen build-up, I'm kind of looking forward to that being punctured as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not doing it in a way to mock it either. I think it enjoys that. It's just there's what happens if you throw somebody in to that formula who... breaks the rules, and he's kind of frustrated himself that no one can offer him a better fight. Oh, is that an
hour
returning?
Yeah, I think that's key.
Yeah, but
otherwise it could come across as a bit smarmy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they love the genre that they're working in.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks great as a cartoon as well, which was the thing we were worried about, because it's like, it looks so good as a comic. How can it look that good as a cartoon?
Niall hates it. If he doesn't get back in time, it's official that he hates it.
Yeah, we can only say so much more about this. Let's move on. Yeah, Niall hates it. Let's leave it at that. Osumatsu. Mr. Osumatsu. This is the other show which is the thing eating my time that I could be spending watching Lupin the Third. And it's so good. So good. Mm-hmm. Such a killer first episode. Did you get around to watching the first episode, or was it taken down before you had a chance, Bradley?
It was taken down before I had the chance, but I'm sure there's ways to hunt it down.
I'm sure
I'll do that
is,
eventually.
Yes.
I loved it too. It is. So we had reviewed a Christmas episode of Gintama.
Yes.
And after watching Osumatsu-san, I realized that Osumatsu-san is basically the perfect anime series for people who think they'll like Gintama but are intimidated by the episode count and all of the characters that the show assumes you're going to have to be familiar with hundreds of episodes later. It has a very similar sense of humor and that very kind of cutting, sarcastic stuff that I really like, especially when it can get just a little sentimental. God, it's just, it's really good.
Yeah, it's just because, like, we're used to seeing these guys joking around and being reprehensible human beings when something genuinely, like, moving occurs to them, and it hits somewhat harder as a result.
How about you, Anthony?
Yeah, it's all right. No, I'm quite content to watch this. If we weren't doing another show, I probably wouldn't watch every episode. I will jump in when and if required. So if someone says you'll probably like that episode there, I would check it out because I know it's probably going to be funny. But not every episode is great for me. It's all right. It's all right. It's a good show, and I can like the merits are strong. When it's at its best, it is really good. Whereas just not every joke tickles me, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I go along with Bradley. I think he's cut to the quick there. Yeah, because it is the same people doing Gintama or have done Gintama in the past. Mm-hmm. And as we say, that thing he's got coming next year looks even more bonkers. Classicaloid, cannot wait. And we get another series of this next season. But more when we get to the winter season, we'll talk about some more. Beautiful Bones, Sakuraku's Investigation. This looks like a Bradley-only one.
Yeah, I have really mixed feelings about this. So, it's a detective series, right? A mystery series, and it has the obsessive detective trope. This time around, it's about a woman who is obsessed with bones in particular. And she's so obsessed with it, it's almost to a sexual degree. And that part of it is kind of fun to watch in the same way that Monk is kind of fun to watch, where you've got a quirky detective who solves things because he looks at the world very differently. And when the detective explains, and she's not really a detective, she's just a bone collector, but she keeps running into cold cases and murders because of her hobby. So she has to explain to the police, well, this isn't a suicide, this is actually a murder, and here's how I know that. So it's that part of it is fun. That part of it is fine. The problem is the Watson to our detective. The Watson is a teenage boy. And he falls into a trope that I am absolutely sick of and just want nothing. I just don't want to see it in anime again. And the trope kind of works like this. A boy is infatuated with an anime girl who is kind of crazy. And the primary way that the boy interacts with the girl is to condescendingly explain to her, here's how normal people do things. You should do it this way. And it is agitating. I can only think of one show that's done it even close to entertaining before, and that was Haruhi Suzumiya. And I guess you can blame that show's popularity for every other, for so many other anime since then having exactly the same dynamic and doing it with zero charm. It is agitating, and I hate it, and I'm not going to watch more episodes solely because of that trope, even though I am so close to liking the show and wanting to see more of it.
Oh, yeah, that just reminds me, talking of things Bradley hates, definitely do not watch DD Fist of the North Star Strawberry Flavor. Because if you were annoyed by bats reacting to things in the first season, you'll go insane in this season.
Yeah.
They do make a joke of it. When I think in the latest episode, Rael says something so stupid, and they all look at Bat as if to say, come on, you're supposed to react to that. And he's like, no, that was even so stupid, I can't even be inspired.
When you describe it, it sounds funny, right?
And, yeah, but you'd have had to sit through 10 episodes.
There's so many anime comedies. That's right. I don't know. There's so many anime comedies that have exactly that trope, right? And I normally enjoy it. I'm not entirely sure why Bats is an exception, so maybe I should go back and revisit it. And even though back to Beautiful Bones, even though I think Beautiful Bones is trying to do exactly that kind of comedy dynamic, it really doesn't work, and it's kind of creepy and sexist.
Tantai Team KZ, Jikan Note. I watched the first episode of this. I cannot recall anything that happened about it whatsoever.
I've never even heard of
this. There wasn't much that happened. It was cute, but it was completely uninspirational.
Yeah, it's like
it's only, not even a word, but...
It's only 10 minutes no long as well, aren't more. They? It's like half... Yeah. Half-length episode.
That sounds perfect.
It sounds perfect, yeah, but you watch it and you'll go, there? What?
What, because it's confusing or just because...
No, it's just so bland.
Yeah,
bland is a good description. That said, I would have liked to see an actual mystery in the first episode, and that didn't happen. I think that was the biggest mistake.
Talking of things lacking a mystery in their first episode, the perfect excitement.
Was I wrong? I wasn't under the impression that this was a show entirely about locked room mysteries. Is that an accurate description, or...?
I have no idea. I've not gone past... because nothing happened in the first episode.
To an immense degree.
But it looks great. That's the annoying thing. It's like, this is one of the best-looking shows this season. But I was like, I cannot handle this pace, particularly alongside One Punch Man.
Yeah, I recently heard that the kind of was a big reveal or kind of payoff for the mystery or part of it anyway, and it was almost like insultingly stupid. That doesn't really enthuse me to sit through half a series to see what that is. So
this is like the slap in the face for me, because I remember thinking this was going to be the show. Obviously, aside like One Punch Man stuff, but I thought, yes, this is going to tickle my fancy. This is the one for me. It's so rubbish. It's so dull. And I'm sad. I'm really disappointed. This is the biggest disappointment. Such a shame.
Do you see any of it, Bradley?
No. Okay. I'll probably pass after hearing this.
Young Blackjack, I think, was maybe on my list. I did not get round to watching it. Niall, did you watch some of this?
I watched just a first bit of it now, and I don't know, I'm having a hard time sticking with it, because, you know, because it's set like in the 60s or thereabouts anyway, and there's a lot of kind of student protests, there are a lot of young doctors protesting, and it has a really, really unsympathetic view of them. Like, they're wanting, just better conditions, what they do, as is their right, to do so. But they're these villains, holding patients hostage. And then comes Blackjack, who is this unlicensed surgeon, and he demands, ludicrous amounts of money to perform illegal operations. And he's held up as a hero, and these people who are, legitimate and just wanting to... wanting a better life for themselves, they're held up at these reprehensible villains. It's like, what is this all about? Who's behind this? Yeah. Although I will get points to the second episode, which is inadvertently just turned into Kaiji. So it's like, oh wow, that's okay.
It sounds like a Koch Brothers anime.
Maybe.
Nobody else will find that amusing because it's intrinsically tied to American politics, but.
Yeah. Yeah, but I know who
that
know
was
who
a terrible joke.
Yeah, so maybe there's kind of right wing fervor in Japan right now. Maybe there's a little bit of that leaking into this.
Okay, some add-ons which weren't on our list originally. Shin Atashinchi. We watched an episode of this for Let's Go, and if there wasn't an Osamatsu, I'd probably be watching this weekly. It's an anime about your mum. Is what our conclusion was. Did you watch that, Niall? Or was it just me and Dwayne watched it?
It was just you guys.
Okay. Hackadoll. I watched an episode of this because people were posting funny pictures of it, or things which worked as a joke in a still frame. It's kind of like a sexy version of Uncle Grandpa.
What? I need that explained to me.
Okay, well, the typical Uncle Grandpa episode is that Uncle Grandpa barges into somebody's home, tries to help them in ridiculous ways, which may make things worse or better by the end of it. Which is kind of what happens in the first episode of this, except it's these three scantily clad AI... I don't know what they are, holograms, robots. Doesn't really make much sense.
Is this this thing, it was an app...
Yeah, it's a news app.
Getting news. Yeah,
it's a news app.
The mascot for
us. Mm. As a 10-minute anime. Mm. But yeah, I've already watched the first episode. I don't think I'll find the time to watch more. But it wasn't terrible.
No, I enjoyed the funny faces per minute count. And I guess that explains why it works so well in still showing funny pictures. But yeah, I agree with your assessment, even though I'm slightly mystified by the Uncle Grandpa comparison.
I think it was just the reactions of... I think I watched the start of the second episode. It seemed they were invading somebody else's home in that. One Piece. checking in on One Piece. Bradley, bad news. They're still not finished the Dressrosa arc in the anime. Notable things. It took 5 months for a fight between Luffy and Bellamy to finish. And I think Luffy may have only thrown one punch during the entire fight.
The original One Punch Man.
And
now, is it entertaining during those 5 months, or does it feel stretched?
I'm sort of misleading you there. It takes the 5 months is where between the start of the fight and the end of the fight. Most of those episodes don't involve that fight. They'll just be a clip of them yelling of Luffy yelling at Bellamy not to fight him, for much just like every episode. But there's also a huge flashback in the middle of that, and another flashback.
Okay. A flashback within a flashback? Whoa.
I think there is that. I think that does happen as well. But there's two separate flashbacks, at least two. There may be three. Then also, as was pointed out to me, that it was over a year for Frankie to say, "I'm going to go and fight that guy," to the fight actually finishing. I think it takes him like 5 months for it, the episode where he says he's going to go and do that fight, to him actually laying the first punch or something.
Top Puffer Insider was slow. Wow.
And yet still faster than fights in Dragon Ball Super in terms of pacing of the actual fights. Because quite often the actual fight, once it gets going, is kind of over in an episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that Frankie one in particular, they were constantly cutting to it. And it was one of the best looking. It's probably, for a fight spread over so many episodes, it may be the best looking one of those types of fights which has ever been done.
And I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, in general, it looks good as well. It's whereas Dragon Ball Super suffered, One Piece in general has looked pretty good. It's suffering at the moment, but in general, for the past year, it's looked pretty good. Starmew.
You watched
it. Well, I think we know from the colour in the notes. Bradley, explain yourselves.
That was me. A friend of mine said, "Bradley, you've got to watch this." And I said, "Okay." And okay, so this is a boy idol anime, and it's also much more of a musical than any other idol anime I've seen before. And I only saw the first episode. I kind of liked it, but I don't know what it is that doesn't make me like it more, or I have really mixed feelings about this, but it is kind of endearingly kooky, and it's got that kind of kitschy charm that musicals and idol anime generally have when they're good. So I might watch more of this. I might not.
Yeah, my impression of it was, because it came out the same week of that first episode of Osomatsu, was lots of people were saying, "How can you even do this in a week that episode came out?" Heavy Object. That's another Bradley pick, or late running.
Yeah, this is one of the worst first episodes I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of anime. It just spends so much of its time explaining its fairly boring premise. It has incredibly ugly robots. The characters are bland. A lot of very unsexy, boring cheesecake. It's just not a good cartoon. It's kind of terrible.
Okie doke. And that was the autumn anime. Let's look to the winter, where it is slim pickings indeed. So, my picks. I've stuck down to, I've got six here, but we can leave the sixth one off, because that's just
garbage.
More TQ. Garbage.
Yeah, it's just a constant now. So, got Mr. Osomatsu Season 2, coming straight after Season 1. And hopefully they won't tone things down after all the problems there for Season 1. We shall have to wait and see. I'm sure it'll continue to be great, though. Then I've got the third part of this second run of episodes. I'm still halfway through the last bit, so if I eventually get that done, I'll watch this.
You know, instead of calling it Do-Ra-Ra-Ra-Ra 2.3, they should just add a Ra.
Well, they don't call it
each new season.
I'm just calling it that. They should do that instead of whatever they actually do. Because if I actually call it by its proper name, it's even more complicated. Okay, next on my list, if I can find it again, For some reason, I put Macross Delta on there. I think that's wishful thinking.
What? Okay, do you mean in the sense that we're not getting a full TV series, this is just a preview, or in the sense that you think this is going to be crap?
Both. No, it's just going to be, it says, like a TV special airing on December 31st, so it's probably going to be coming soon to TV near you.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to handle it like they handled the... Okay, and also be crap. All right. I'm optimistic. But I think they're going to do what they did with the last Macross TV series, where they air the first two episodes a season before they air the series proper. So,
okay, yeah, that would make sense.
See, I don't particularly like the look of it, and yet it's still on my list. I don't like the look of the characters much.
It's such slim pickings, that's why it's on my list. Mm. Which would still be on my list, even if it was bountiful joys to take hold of, would be Secco Boys, because it is an idol anime about a band made up of classical busts.
What on earth? Who comes up with this?
I don't know.
A genius.
They're on my wavelength.
Oh, it's right up your street. Are people going to be cosplaying the busts, do you think? If it's a big deal.
It'll be like the Art Attack.
Art Attack, yes. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I thought.
Oh, see, we can do the references you, Bradley, won't get now.
Oh, Art Attack, Bradley. Google after this, Bradley. Google search Art Attack head. Just
okay.
Head.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's probably the first.
Yeah, I'm totally lost. This is a BBC specific thing, isn't it?
It's ITV.
ITV. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, Bradley, get it right.
Yeah. And like the promotional image is, I think, their manager wheeling them along on a trolley. Because, of course, they can't walk because they don't have legs.
I'm going to have to add it to the list.
It wasn't on your list already, Wolf.
And the final thing, which was a late addition because I saw the trailer, was Dimension W, which is some sort of superpower science fiction thing set in 2071, where they've solved the world's energy problems by pulling energy from the W dimension.
I get that much, but the rest of the plot I don't understand.
No, I don't. I don't see quite how that translates into superpowers.
No, because apparently somebody goes to Dimension W to fight these powers. But what's he fighting them for? I don't understand.
There was an entire episode of Rick and Morty that covered exactly how this could happen. Well, I don't understand why everyone else is confused by this.
Well, I've not seen Rick and M, but.
It's an actual plot from Rick and Morty, now in an anime that's going to take it very seriously. It's got a good trailer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure the trailer suggests that it's going to take it very seriously. But it was good. From the description, I wasn't on board. But when I saw the trailer, I was like, they're all very sort of familiar-looking designs, but it looks like it's done pretty slickly.
The main dude looks cool.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
He's got a beard. That makes him cool.
It's all you need, huh?
There's a cute girl who has robot ears that she seems to use like dog ears and a tail, apparently. I couldn't figure out what that was doing there.
It's ticking everyone's boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony, what were your picks?
Dimension W was on mine, so I'll not linger on that, or Macross Delta. Ajin, depending on how it's meant to be. I don't know. This is on Crunchyroll, the manga, and I've been meaning to give it a look for ages, but now that it's coming out animated, I'm just like, yeah, I'll just watch it. Apparently, there's these people who are immortal. They can't be killed. And people go and try and kill them in different ways. So I'm hoping it's pretty badass. The trailer looks okay. I'm not entirely convinced on the cel-shaded CGI look.
Yeah, my question is, how does this relate to the movie which just came out?
I didn't know there was a movie.
Okay, so what they're doing for the television series is they are taking footage from the movie and they're just adding a little bit more to it to stretch it out.
That is so disappointing. Ugh. I'm going to watch the film. I might take this off the list.
It's made from the same production company, by the way, of Knights of Sidonia.
Oh,
so if, like me, you really didn't like how that looked,
Yes,
I wouldn't be optimistic about how this is going to turn out. And on top of that, I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix is the one who licenses this. So it may take 6 to 8 months for us to finally legally watch the first episode.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to watch it. Bradley, I'm going to watch the film.
Bradley just went through all my thought processes, which removed it from my list. Yep.
It's just like, it's kind of like Midnight in Sidonia again. You're getting a comic that has some really striking visuals to it now, and it's just smushed down to this sort of like flavorless, flat looking like paste. It's completely uninteresting then. Just read the comic. It'd be a lot better.
People will just buy that though nowadays. It's like the CG Bob the Builder. Have you seen that at all?
I've not, but I don't need
what?
To.
No.
I can imagine exactly how it looks in my head.
It is awful.
Oh, man. Is the film good for this, Arjun, at least, or Agent?
No idea. It's the same CG, so...
Well, I can deal with it in a film, but the fact that the series is just the film... This is Dragon Ball Super all over again.
It's worse than that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Oh, I'm disappointed. This has ruined my day. Next thing, which may not ruin the day, is Prince of Stride. It is free, but with running.
Free running.
I think. And it's got parkour in it. And I just need a sports thing. I feel like I need a sports anime to get into, and then I can pick a good cosplay from. This is like such a weird way to watch
something where you can show off your amazing abs.
Or at least give you give me an idea, give me something to work towards. But I think it could be good. I watched the trailer. I recently watched a little bit of Free again, and it's all right.
I think you want to get onto that Yaobusha pedal, Anthony.
Which is that one?
That's the cycling one.
I do like the idea of that, but I'm going to give the Prince some Stride.
IQ is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Baby Step just had its second season. Ace of the Diamond, I really like Ace of the Diamond, even though it is ugly as all get out.
TQ is about to have its seventh season.
Oh, no, that's a sport. Next on the list, it doesn't surprise me it's on nobody else's, at least I don't think so, is Grimgar of Fantasy and Ash, which I always like to have a little bit of an RPG show in the list, and this is it. Apparently, a bunch of people wake up somewhere, whether it's in a game, in a world of Grimgar, I don't know whether that's a game or something, and they don't know what they're there for.
This again!
This again. I don't think it's a game. I think these are real people. Well, not real people, but
it's a light novel. So.
Oh, there you go. So it is well this again. And it looks okay. At first I thought, it looks a little weird. But the fighting looks okay. They're fighting orcs, they're fighting trolls. And I'll give it a go.
They want to get in on some of that non-taxed Log Horizon money.
Have a look. This will be all right. You know what? I can hear the laughter.
No, it's not all right.
This is going to be just fine.
Did you watch just Overlord fine. Earlier this year?
What was Overlord again?
Overlord is the one where it's just one guy's left in the game.
Yeah. And isn't a game, I don't think. I don't think.
No.
But it could well be a game, or it could be a real fantasy setting that is not a game. It's got a lot of fan service in the trailer as well, Bradley.
Sure, yes. I'm not watching this.
Specifically, well, not out to Bradley.
You're not selling me on this.
One of us.
Light novel, easy Akira. No way.
Just you wait. When this is the next big thing, this and Prince of Stride is the next big thing. But that's it. That is my list. I am. I don't know whether it's a good list, but it's a list.
Okay, I've got some short additions, but I need someone to explain something to me first. How is it that in the year 2016, we get a new season of Nurse Witch Kurigami Song?
Okay, right. So remember, NTV purchased Tatsunoko Productions recently.
Okay.
So this is airing on NTV, because Nurse Witch, whatever it's called, was a Tatsunoko thing, spin-off of, what was it, Soul... can't remember what it's called now, whatever it was, which was Comedy OAV. This is a TV series by none of the original creators and done as a straight magical girl show, as far as I can tell.
Was the original a comedy? I've never seen any of it. Was it good?
People liked it at the time. It was very sort of internet savvy comedy for its time.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's kind of before its time. I don't know how this will be anything like that. As I say, the key creators, none of them are involved. And I think someone told me there's like one of the original voice cast is playing somebody else, so it's all recast as well. So think of this as Nerd Switch, Kagome-san, crowds. So it's a reboot.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Now you just made it sound good.
Oh no, it probably won't be that, but think of it that way. It's like Yataman Knight or Gatchaman Crowns. It's not.
Yeah, but I really liked both of those.
Yeah, but this probably won't be any good. But it might be. It might be. Maybe they're going to look at, say, oh, we want some sort of postmodern magical girl show. What magical girls do we own? We own this one. Let's do something with this. Who knows what they're going to do?
Right, because what we need more of are cartoons that deconstruct magical girls.
Exactly. It's a Me Too thing, I think. Because if it was a demand for a return of that thing, they would have brought back the creators, I think.
Exactly. Do we know who's directing it? I have the internet in front of me. I can look this up.
No, it's fine. I don't think it was anybody any good, otherwise it'd be on my list.
Okay. Let me check.
No, oh, all that check. Clicking and click, click, click.
Sorry.
Bradley's doing his stapling again. Anyway, what else is on Bradley's list while he's looking up? Well, he decided...
One that I want to watch now because I've Googled it and it looks funny.
What's that? Oji-san.
I don't want to jump his list, but
no,
yes.
No, go on ahead.
Oh, Oji-san, the marshmallow. It looks hilarious.
Looks pretty good, yeah.
Why didn't I have this on my list?
It's like My Love Story, but the later years.
I've heard really good things about the manga, but it's also a web short, about five minutes long. So
perfect.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. In other words, there's a second season of Assassination Classroom. I'm looking forward to watching the first season of Assassination Classroom.
Yeah. Have you not watched it yet?
I've seen the first three episodes. I really liked what I saw. Yeah. It's definitely my thing. I'll probably be reviewing it next year, though. So, there is a short series called Sushi Police, which has police hunting down bastardized sushi,
now,
quote unquote.
I don't know if it's the same people. I think by the look of it, it may well be. But Anthony and Niall, were you at my Penguin panel at IACON in 2013?
Of course I was.
And I finished with that CG Penguin trailer.
Yes.
This looks like that retooled.
Okay.
Oh.
In that the character designs are humans now, but they're kind of similarly shaped. The editing looks very similar. And the kind of slightly janky CG looks quite similar as well.
Oui.
I don't know whether that penguin thing ever came out. Or even if there's any connection at all. But that's what it reminded me of watching the trailer.
I don't know about this one. I watched the trailer as well. And is it going to be like a 5-minute short?
5 minutes, it says.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nah, maybe I'll watch it.
It sounds just long enough for the joke to play out, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the question, is it enough to play out repeatedly?
Yeah.
Or just the once?
We'll see, I guess. I'll run through the rest of these real quick. Musaigen no Phantom World, which is the new Kyoto Animation series. Kyoto Animation used to feel like a sure bet, but I feel like I've only enjoyed a third of their output since then. But we'll see. Maybe this will be good. Erased, which is directed by the same guy who did Occult Academy, which is a series everyone's forgotten about, but I really liked. I really want to rewatch it sometime. This is a mystery show about a mystery author. That seems to happen a lot. This mystery author has the power that... Oh, hang on. I want to actually read this off so I don't get this wrong.
I read about this earlier and I can't remember either.
So from my anime list... I'll just read the synopsis here, because this is interesting. Struggling manga author is beset by his fear to express himself. However, he has a supernatural ability to be forced to prevent deaths and catastrophe by being sent back in time before the incident occurred, repeating time until the accident is prevented. And apparently the show is about him getting framed for a murder in one of these accidents. So he keeps going back in time while working with a grade school child to try and figure out what happened. And he has to do this over and over again until he solves the mystery, so to speak. So that could be fun. That's a decently interesting premise.
But?
No but.
Okay, okay, I thought you were...
Yeah, I was thinking this myself actually seemed pretty interesting. You get a bit of a kind of a quantum leap type of vibe off it.
Oh, yes, if only.
But I've seen other stories now where it's like repeating the same day and things change every once we had that infamous second season of Fiery Zeus and Mia. So I hope this isn't just some kind of ruse to reuse animation in every episode to save a bit of money.
I fully approve of reusing animation over and over again. It's just a question of can you fool me? And keep it interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Animation is secretly all about doing as much as possible with as little work as possible.
Anything else? Oh, Pretty Cure.
Yeah, we got a new Pretty Cure. This one is going to be in a magic... Yeah, right? Even though it apparently keeps selling less and less plastic toys, they still make it. This one is going to be in a magical school. I believe that's confirmed, but I'm not 100% on that just because they haven't released a lot of information about this yet. And I think the information is almost late compared to last year and the year before that. So,
yeah, I hadn't heard that at all. I just know that the image is two witches' hats.
Mm-hmm.
And also it will be the 50th anniversary of Toei Magical Girls next year.
Could be good.
Yeah, and also something about two worlds. So I don't know whether they're going to go back to the magical girl Sally of having magical girls from a witch universe or something.
Hmm.
Well, technically every Pretty Cure has two worlds involved in it, right? So that doesn't sound that different from what they normally do.
No. Yeah, there's still nothing on the website apart from the witch's hats, really. So who knows? So I assume there'll be two, because there's two witches' hats, and one will be pink and one will be black. But beyond that... Oh,
and then a third will come in. She used to be an enemy, but now she's their best friend.
The exclamation mark looks like a witch's broom, though, so there's another thing. So I think definitely a witch theme is going on here. Which would make sense if they're going to go 50th anniversary. All I want then is for there to be a Toei Magical Girls war movie, like they do with the Kamen Riders and the Super Sentai films, where we get...
That'd be fun.
Pretty Cure versus everybody else.
That'd be fun. I find that Pretty Cure is often really good when it focuses on one theme. When they have a loose theme like perfumes and dresses and fashion, the show really benefits from focus on something like, in this case, Princesses of the current season, or maybe Fairy Tales from Smile, which is now Glitter Force. So.
Hmm. Okie dokie. I think that wraps everything up for our preview. Anything else anyone wants to add before I
ask you all for
plugs? In which case, plug away, Bradley.
Yeah, the Anime Now podcast is my podcast where we just review new anime with very smart people. So in an upcoming episode, we'll be doing Hibiki Euphonium, and we will also be reviewing the new live-action Akagi series. So look forward to that.
Niall.
Ooh, you can find me my own podcast, Secret Center Madness. We find Secret Center Madness at blogspot.com, on iTunes and Stitcher and all stuff like that. You can also find me on Twitter at Nicholas Cage, as NIALLCOLAS_Cage.
Anthony.
You can find me on Twitter, which is AntAskew. You can watch Adventure Bastards on YouTube. And there's a phone ring in the background. Just ignore it. Go to YouTube and search Adventure Bastards. Just jump in from the newest episode, because I think we'll be starting a new scenario soon, potentially. Another thing I promised I would plug for a friend. I don't usually do this, but a friend of mine and Brian's, and I believe Niall knows him too, has just released a new game. Do you know of the game, Brian?
I do. Are you going to charge him for the advertising?
Oh, well, I do get a thanks in the end. I probably should have done, shouldn't I? For the listeners we get.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
Cosplay Maker. It is... Like, I'm not a big cosplay guy. I've tried it a few times. It's good fun. But either way, this game is really addictive. And it's on Steam. Go give it a look. If any of you listeners really like cosplay, you'll probably appreciate it. It's just... I sat for 2 hours straight and I was like, oh shit, I've got other things to do. But it's a fun game. Check it out. Cosplay Maker. That's it.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. And we'll be back in the new year with hopefully, finally, our Battle Angel Alita podcast.
Oh, yes.
Providing John stays at work to record it and doesn't use the terrible, terrible German internet, which has ruined the previous two attempts to record it.
We've tried.
As always, you can find this podcast at dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes, Stitcher, player.fm, and many other aggregator sites. So why not subscribe to one of them, write some reviews, and so more people can find out about the prognosticators that are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Later. See you.
Right, let's stop that recording.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.